I just, in my life, I just like to, I'm lazy. So I just don't get on the phone and call the doctor and make the appointments sometimes. But I know I'm not the only one. And I've heard other reasons for people who say they don't go to the doctor. One, I have a friend and she struggles with her weight. And she always says to me, I'm not going to the doctor because I know they're just going to tell me to lose weight and I don't want to hear it. And I once sat with a woman who told me, she actually said to me, I know there's something wrong with me, but I don't want to go because I don't want to hear what it is. Maybe if I just ignore it, it will go away. We live that way sometimes, don't we? Whether it's with doctors and doctor visits in our health and our health or other things in our lives, sometimes we think to ourselves, I don't want to hear it, and maybe if I just ignore it, it will go away. Sometimes I wonder as people if we are that way with our own sin. It's been said that the Western Church's problem isn't that we deny our sin, we just simply ignore our sin. We don't even think about our behavior and what we are doing. Is that true? I wonder sometimes. John today, in the letter that he writes to those first followers of Christ, tells them how wonderful God is. Sometimes this is called a love letter. How much God loves us, what God has done for us. But then he also talks to them about the importance of their behavior and what sin can look like in their lives. And he writes this letter for a very specific purpose. At the time when the church was forming, there were these groups breaking off. We always like to think we're the only one really good at denominations and sects, like it's a problem of our century. But this has been going on since the church started. And this group had broken off. And basically what they said is, we totally get the spiritual side of Jesus. We love the spiritual side of Jesus, but spirit is all that matters. And our bodies don't matter, and our behavior doesn't matter, so we can do whatever we want as long as we believe in the spiritual nature of Jesus. And so there was this big break happening in the church, and John wrote to say, well, actually, it does matter what you do with your bodies. It does matter how you act. And he basically says in his letter, if you say you are following Christ, but you are living in the dark, if you are saying one thing with your mouth and doing another with your body and your life, then you are not followers of Christ. I wonder how often we do the same. I once heard the distinction between being a follower of Christ and being an admirer of Christ. And I always hold on to that distinction. It's very easy to be an admirer of Christ, isn't it? Think Christ is a pretty awesome guy and has a lot to teach us. But to follow Christ is a lot harder. Because if we are going to follow Christ, we need to take what we do seriously. We need to look at our actions and remember what Jesus tells us to do and recognize that the words we say and the way we treat one another are important. So often I think we willy-nilly just go out into the world and do what we want to do and don't think about how it will affect all of these other people. Now, I always think, of course, cars are the worst humanity. People, when they get in their cars, lose all sense of their humanity, right? And me among them sometimes. I work very hard on that. But so we were just coming back from LaGuardia Airport. And I also have to say, this is my Midwestern driving bias. Some of the stereotypes in New York are really true. So I was in the Midwest, and I had to merge at one point. I was on the interstate, and there was the sign, you know, left lane closed in half a mile. And all of the people, and I am not exaggerating, zippered in perfectly. They let people in. Everybody just kept moving. And I'm in my lane waiting, just waiting for someone to zip by me in the left lane and try to sneak in. No one did. It was unbelievable. And then we got back and Craig picked us up at LaGuardia. Oh my goodness. We were trying to get I don't know, 678 or somewhere, and a guy in a minivan goes from the wrong lane, jerks in front of us, is honking his horn at us, and I'm thinking, I am back in New York. My goodness. And the driving stereotypes are there for a reason, right? But as he was doing that, I was thinking, you know, you could cause so many accidents here. And do you not realize that your life isn't the only one here? You might think you're in a bubble because you're, I think this is what happens to us in a car. We get in this little bubble and we think we're the only ones, like somehow we're the only ones on the planet. And he's not. Thank God there wasn't an accident, but there were 20 different ways an accident could have happened when he did what he did. Our actions matter. The way we drive, but the way we talk to each other. There was some wonderful speakers at the youth gathering, and there was one woman who spoke about her struggle with an eating disorder. And she told a story about how when she was 9 years old, nine, she said a little girl in her classroom called her fat. And she said, it's such a small word, but it stuck in my mind. Now, she developed an eating disorder, and there were probably more reasons than one little girl's words, but maybe not. Because you know what? I bet you all can remember words that people have said to you. I bet you all can remember actions that people have done towards you that have demeaned you or made you feel less than human. But lest we begin to just point at everybody else who has done that to us, remember that we too have been guilty of the same thing. I know there have been words that have come out of my mouth that the minute they were out, have you ever had this? You like wish you had a, like autocorrect or something, you could just pull them back. I know that I have had actions that to others, whether out of anger or impatience or whatever, were not loving. We need to look at our actions. It is what God calls us to do. It is why we have confession and forgiveness every single Sunday. But you know, as Americans and as Christians in America, there are a lot of churches that don't do confession and forgiveness. Not only not every Sunday, but never during the year. Right? Because we don't like to necessarily say that we need to be forgiven of anything, but oh, how we do. Now, lest we swing the other way, though, too, there are some Christians, I think, we get in this habit of saying, oh, how sinful we really are, and it almost turns into a form of self-righteousness, right? Like, look how bad I am. Oh, I'm such a sinner. And that's not what we're called to either. Luther actually did this. Luther, when he was an Augustinian monk, was known to have gone to confession for 6 hours a day. In fact, there's a legend in which his personal confessor said to him, you know what, go away, Luther, unless you have something good to confess to me, just don't come back. Like, he was seeing him too much. And we can do that too. We can beat ourselves up and up and up over one action or one word. But I think whether we're ignoring our sin or we're beating ourselves up, it comes down to the same reason. We don't really trust that the grace and love of God is bigger than us and bigger than our sin. Because if we're beating ourselves up, the reason Luther did it early on was because he said, I don't want to be judged. I don't want to have forgotten one sin. He didn't really believe God was going to take care of it. He thought he had to do everything. And when we ignore our sin, I think we also, maybe there's a part of us that just doesn't want to admit to who we are, because if we do, people might not love us in the same way, and God might not love us in the same way. Now, we have to be honest that it is true people might not love us in the same way if we admit all of our sins. That's true. I'm not going to lie about that, right? But there will be people who still love us. I was just talking to a woman who had had an affair in her marriage years ago, and she never told her spouse, and she just told him recently. And when she told him, the marriage fell apart. They're split now. That happens sometimes when truth comes out. But later when I talked to her, she said this: the truth is, our relationship has been crumbling for years. because I have been trying to hide that secret and it has been eating me up, and I can't be in an honest relationship with my husband. So you see, it wasn't the deed necessarily that broke up the marriage. I mean, I think it was, sort of. But you do wonder if at the beginning she had said something, maybe what would have been different. I have seen relationship after relationship break apart because people will not be honest with themselves and with each other. We are afraid what people will think of us. But my friends, we are all sinners. And you have definitely had those relationships where you can be open and honest. And those are the kind of relationships Jesus calls us to. And also know today that whether or not relationships crumble, God will always be there. Because there is nothing bigger than God. There is nothing too scary that will make God run. You can give your sins to God. God asks you to, because God's grace and God's love and God's mercy is bigger than all of it. And when you can do that, you don't need to let it keep eating you up like it did to the woman I was talking to. You don't need to let it keep pushing you to the floor because you feel like you're lying to the world and people around you. You can be free to be who you are, a beautifully, gorgeously imperfect child of God. That's who each and every one of us is. I kept thinking about how it's like this almost. Sin knocks us down to the ground, and we start crawling. And if we would just admit our sin to God, God would pick us up so we could walk again. But we see the door, and we just keep crawling, right? And maybe we keep crawling because everybody else around us is crawling, and we don't know we can stand up. You can stand up. God gives you the freedom. You don't have to be perfect. God never calls you to that. Instead, what God calls you to do is follow the best you can. Know you're going to get knocked down, but then let God pick you up and try again. I was recently listening to a podcast from a rabbi out of Chicago, and she talked about this Jewish notion of something called the tzaddik. The tzaddik is a righteous person in Jewish tradition. And what she said was so great about the tzaddik and their notion of a righteous person was that a righteous person wasn't somebody who always did everything right, which is like kind of think in Christian circles what we think a little bit, like a righteous person never does anything wrong. She said their notion of a tzaddik instead of a righteous person is someone who makes new mistakes. And I liked that. I kept thinking about it, right? Like, okay, I've made mistakes, and now I'm going to let them go, and I'm going to stand up and be ready to make new mistakes. Hopefully, as I get older and, I don't know, maybe learn more, I won't keep making the same old mistakes, although I know some of us keep making the same mistakes over and over. But the idea of giving it to God and being righteous is that we can stand up and go forward and be ready to make new mistakes. It's okay to make the mistakes. You, as we were told at the youth gathering by Nadia Boltz-Weber, I think she used gorgeously imperfect children of God is what she called us. And that is what each and every one of us is. So claim that from God and then shine the light that you are meant to shine. It's really hard to shine a light when you are so busy turned inward that you can't see others. It is really hard to shine a light when you are beating yourself up over things you have done wrong. It's really hard to shine a light when you are judging everybody else for their sins. It is much easier to shine a light when you can let go of the junk you're holding on to. Be honest about who you are. Let God enter you and let God come out as light. Shine your light. Follow Jesus. Admit your imperfections. but know they are a beautiful part of you, and God will use them to shine light into